This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
I'm now delighted to welcome our next guest to the studio, the award-winning Mandira Sarkar of Surrey Spice. Hello there, Mandira.
Hello, Jo.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, before we get on to what Surrey Spice does, I'd be very interested to hear about your background, because I understand you were 17 years as a management consultant.
Yes, I know. All that time lost. No, I'm only being facetious. I had a wonderful career. I really enjoyed it, but I moved to the UK about 20 years ago and went in straight into what I had already been doing. So my first degree was at English, second degree was an MBA. And I started working, as you do, and that was all I knew. I couldn't cook, and I spent the next 17 years complaining about the Indian food here. And every time someone put some food in front of me, I kept on saying, oh, that's not Indian, till a friend got quite exasperated and said, put your money where your mouth is. And so I then left my career or my management consultancy role and started Surrey Spice.
Weren't you a little worried about how it would go?
I was terrified. Absolutely terrified, because it was that huge leap into the unknown. But actually what happened, my current contract came to an end. And so I had thought that, you know, I would go into something, but I think I came out, I was a bit sick and tired of doing the same thing over and over again. So it was a sort of an oh my God moment. And then I started blogging about food and writing about food, because that was what my passion was. And then a friend of ours actually said, come to India and do a little culinary tour and come back and write about it. And I thought, okay, hard life, but someone's got to do it. So I went off to India with my then 13-year-old daughter. And I was sitting in Benares, which is actually the oldest living city in the world, and eating some amazing regional Indian food. And I thought, why is it that we don't get this? So I came back and I put up a little Facebook post saying how many people would like an authentic Indian, you know, meal that I'm quite up, you know, in the form of a pop-up. And about 25 people said, yes, I'll come. So deep breath. And that's how I started with the first supper club. And then, of course, we moved on to catering and then now with the freezer meals. So I think in the beginning, it was very scary. But, you know, once you're in it, you're in it. So it's either sink or swim.
Indeed. And, so yeah. There are three facets to your business then. There's the supper clubs.
Yes.
The freezer meals.
Yes. And we have catering. So the catering and the supper clubs are, they're pretty much the labor of love, because unless you're doing a supper club every night or you're running a huge big catering operation, it's not very commercial. And which, sure. You know, the freezer meals for us is where the focus is, because that's what, we sell out of 10, 12 farm shops now. We do online delivery. So anybody sitting anywhere in the UK can actually order our meals and have it delivered to them. And so that, I think, has got the biggest potential to grow as a business. And that's probably the more commercial side of the business. The supper clubs we do, we cater for lots of events, starting from, two-person anniversary dinners to 200 people sit-down Bollywood nights and everything in between. But as I said, that's probably more, if you look at it from a business point of view, it's probably more marketing, and we absolutely love it, but that doesn't sort of, you know, that's not very businessy.
No. And you talk about these freezer meals. So what sort of variety of food do you offer?
So this is home style Indian food. So we don't do chicken tikkas and kormas and bhunas. So it's regional Indian food. It's food that I've grown up with. It's food that I've had, you know, from family recipes from friends. So we have a range of 9 dishes that we do, and going across India. So we start off with family favorites like chicken in cashew nut and coriander, southern Indian fish curries, chana masala, which is comes from the Punjab. So a whole lot of Indian food.
They're all delicious.
It is, and they're all home style. They are all gluten free. They've got no preservatives. So it's made exactly the way you would cook it in your own house. The only difference is the size of the pot is slightly larger, but we do batch cooking. So these are cooked absolutely with no unpronounceable bits. And then what we do, and it's local produce, fresh produce. And then what we do, we batch chill them and they're frozen and then they deliver through the farm shops.
And have you had to take on lots of new staff to cater for all this?
I've got some people who help me. So I've got, obviously, if you're doing 25 kilos of onions, you do need somebody to help you chop.
I was going to say, yes,
you do need somebody. A lot of chopping. Then we do everything fresh. So we don't open cans of spices or, tomatoes and things like that. So I have people who help me. We do cooking about 2 days a week, and that's pretty much enough. And then it's frozen and then it goes out. So I'm there in the kitchen, literally tasting every batch that comes out to make sure that, because Indian cooking is very, it's very different to probably French cooking or baking, where you've got a recipe that you follow. But some days you might find, you know, the coriander is not, the bunch is not as large as it should be, or it's not as strong as it should be. So you do have to taste every batch to make sure that you've got, you know, it's consistent. Mm.
It's still quite rare to have some of the dishes that you talk about in actual restaurants if you went out for one, isn't it?
Yes.
So do you find people are much more adventurous now at trying new things, or do you find they're a little bit, oh, I'm not sure whether I'm going to like that because I usually just have, you know, chicken korma or something?
Yes. So I think a lot of, you're absolutely right. Though I think if you look at Indian food, or indeed any cuisine in the UK now, you know, we travel more. I think the average age when a child has a curry is probably less than a year than compared to in our generation, where there were people who would in their 70s who had never tasted a spice, you know, an Indian spice before. So yes, we travel more, we are more open to experimenting, which has helped. But I think also what happens is people do come in with preconceived notions, or people, or they come in with their set recipes from their local takeaway. So they say, oh, I love a korma. But I think what that translates for us is, yes, I like something which is quite mild. And we would then say, okay, try this. But everybody who's tasted the food then say, oh, that's quite different. And it's really nice and very fresh. So I think I don't know whether I did myself a disservice or not. But when I started Surrey Spice, I sort of said that anything that we cook, we will not anglicize the food. The food is what it should be. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the food labels as well, I've actually not anglicized the label. So when we do the cashew and coriander chicken, it's called a kaju dhania murg, which is kaju is cashew, dhania is coriander, and murg is a chicken. So sometimes when you look at, you know, you go in front of a freezer in one of our lovely farm shops and you've got these rows of dishes saying meen moili and kaju dhania. They say, you know, what on earth is any of this? But we do a lot of food tasting. And I think also now the world, you know, you've got a lot of people who go on and talk about it to their friends. And that's helped. So, you know, I've always said that we don't have any PR agents. Most of our publicity is done by, you know, our very large mouth, you know, large hearted and big mouth customers and friends. And that's, you know, that's how the business has grown. It's grown organically and people are, but I think, yes, coming back to your original, you know, question, people are more willing to experiment now.
And what about young children? I mean, when I was younger, my parents would never have given me curry because they say I was too young. And I don't, to be honest, I don't think I gave my own children curries. But what age would you give a child a curry? And if they're not used to spicy things, which often children aren't, would they take exception to it, or do you find they tend to like it?
No, because I think what we tend to do in the UK is we tend to confuse spice with heat. Mm. So the moment somebody says, is it very spicy? What they mean is, have you got chilies in it? Mm. And none of our food has got a lot of chilies. There might be something which has got a, you know, a heat to it, but nothing is designed to blow the roof of your mouth. So if you have a dal, yes, it's spicy, but it's, you know, it's got garlic, it's got cumin, it's got stuff which is not really very hot. And I think, you know, we find children as young as one, definitely, or even younger, where their parents have taken a little bit and they've sat there and polished off the little, you know, the little pot that they've. So it's quite common to have, you know, children as young as one tasting our food. And of course, our food, it's actually quite surprising. Yes. Yeah. And also, these meals are designed to be shared with family and friends. So, you know, when you buy a Surrey Spice meal, you don't get a little plastic container with two compartments with rice in one and curry in the other. It's designed, so, you know, which you sit and eat on your own, you shove into a microwave and you sit and eat in front of the television. This is actually meant to be shared, which is why we have 9 dishes. We've now introduced samosas. So people take what they want, they mix and match it, they sit around a table, they add some salad, they add some naan bread, and they have a family meal, which they can all try. And if something is a bit hot, they can add some yogurt to it, but most of it isn't. And that's the, you know, that's the ethos that, you know, we work on. You know,
so the portion sizes then are for like four people?
For two. So each portion is designed, well, two, but I'll clarify that. I'll say it's two very hungry people. We have Connor who does a lot of work with us. You know, he helps us, you know, serving and things. And he's a 17-year-old. So we say one and a half of Connor. But apart from that, and you know, it's two very hungry people. But if you add some more stuff, you can, four people can easily share that.
Sure, that sounds a marvelous idea. Yes. Yeah. Let's try one.
And you do things around at people's own houses, don't you? Yes. Where you actually would come around and cook it there, and everybody just
sits
down and
eats
it.
Yes. So what we do,
lovely,
which is great fun. So we do what we do. Those, we have the supper club. So our catering could range from food that you can have as a take, you know, take it from us, or it could be like a supper club where people sit around a table and we will bring the food. Most of it is prepped, but we'll do the final finishing touches there, and you can have up, you know, it's a proper Indian sort of feast served over four courses, and they're served traditionally beautifully over thalis, and we give you a history of the food, and people can actually see it being cooked and or finished off and brought across, and they get a history of what they're eating. We also do that with our cooking lessons, because then people come around, sometimes families come for our cooking lessons, and then or groups of friends, and then they cook, we go through, you know, what they're cooking, and then they sit down and actually enjoy the food, and that's, you know, it's quite a nice experience.
Where do you hold those then?
Well, some we hold at our premise, but we also work around other places. So some of the supper clubs, we do a lot of work with the Silent Pool Distillery. We are now speaking to Albury Vineyard. So there are lots of lovely venues across Surrey. And you know, usually people sometimes have them in their own houses as well.
So where are you actually based then?
In Guildford.
Right.
So we are based in Guildford. I do, my business is obviously part-time. So as a result, I have a little kitchen, and I work, you know, obviously do the food out of that.
So how many people would you be able to cater for in Guildford if they wanted to come and have a meal there? And
well, if we had a supper club, we would probably, when I started off, I did the supper clubs at home. And we would have, you know, 12 to 18 people. It's more like a dinner party. But I think now as time's going on, I'm actually, you know, it's a huge disruption. So what we try and do is give you an alternate venue. And say that, why don't you come to one that we're hosting somewhere? Why don't we have it at your venue? Or if you could have it at ours, we'd say about 12 people.
So talking about Indian food as we have been, do you ever eat British food at all?
You know, people look at me and they sort of think that we probably eat curry for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Not correct. My favorite food, people say, you know, what's your guilty pleasure? And it's actually sushi. So we eat as a family. We are foodies. And yes, we do have Indian food, but probably once a week, if that. We eat. So, you know, we do a lot of experimenting with food, and we eat a lot of other food as well. So in our house, you would probably go through virtually Thai one night, Italian another night, British, you would have Mexican. So we do all sorts of food. It's just got to be nice, that's it.
Yeah, right. So back in India, do they eat a lot of food which isn't Indian?
Now, in the cities, yes, there's been this huge explosion of food everywhere. So whether it's Guildford or whether it's Gujarat, whether it's Delhi or whether it's, I don't know, New York, there's all big cities to a point are the same. You know, you get every kind of food. In India, you've got this huge, you know, same thing like here. But I think in India, we do, unlike here, we cook every, you know, every meal's, you know, you do have a meal at home. You do go out a lot, so you do eat a lot of Indian food, but you eat a lot of other food as well.
Yeah. And do you have any other cookery courses coming up that people could come to or more for?
Well, the cookery courses happen anytime. So if you can get a group of 4 to 6 people together, we will host a cookery lesson on a day of your choice. We've also just launched our spice kits, which is a Surrey spice spice experience. So you can get 6 refillable jars with our spice blends that we use. You get all the recipes for it. You can cook a meal in your own house using those recipes for up to 8 people, up to, and you know, 6 to 8 dishes.
So just give us the details of your website and contact details.
So the website is surreyspice.com. So it's www.surreyspice.com. Our Facebook page is Surrey Spice. Instagram is Surrey_spice. And Twitter is at Surrey Spice.
Right. Well, thank you very much. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people out there whose stomachs are rumbling now and thinking, I must have something nice to eat. So thank you very much for coming in and telling us about it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.